Hi guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast, episode number 33. We've got plenty of questions to go through today. I think Reese has got a couple from last week. I've got quite a few today. Do you want to give us a bit of an update on this week, mate, for you?
I got a one rep max on my shoulder press on Monday. That was a highlight. Nothing else to report. No, it's been all right, to be fair. Another week, another gaining phase week it ticked off. Nothing really to report. Training's in a good spot. Food's in a good spot. I saw my heaviest body weight, but then I was straight back down the following day. So I went from being like the heaviest I've ever been to then not being the heaviest I've ever been.
Need more food, mate.
More food's needed, definitely. I sent Finn a message and I was like, mate, I dropped by a pound. What should I do? And he was like, just more food, mate. Off-plan meal. And I was like, okay, fair enough.
Refeed.
And then, I'm going to have to refeed in the gaining phase. It was definitely needed. But no, literally, that's that. Training's in a good spot. Food's in a good spot, all things considered. And that's pretty much that. Weirdly enough, I did actually want to say, I felt a little bit fatigued this week. No doubt other than just literally, I think I had like two nights worth of sleep where it wasn't, the duration was fine, but just my quality was a bit off. And I just felt a little bit sluggish in my sessions. And I feel like I'm definitely not approaching like a position where I need to deload, but I think a devolume probably will be in maybe a week or two down the line.
Yeah.
I would actually say that to you. I'm not too sure how you've been feeling. Like I feel
I agree, mate. I agree. It has been, obviously we both deloaded at Christmas, didn't we? So it's been a good, 5 weeks?
I had a look deload.
It's 5 weeks, so you have to deload.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be fair, we've already got week 5 deload, and now we are feeling it. We are feeling we need to deload at this point. But I was going to actually mention to you, because obviously I felt just a little bit I'm not going to say like fatigued to the point where we need to deload, but just going through a devolume, probably just drop volume slightly. It's going to be a bit of a challenge regarding the Saturday session for me, because I wouldn't really know what to do if I was doing a hip hinge to do one set, because I wouldn't want to come down in loading, you know. I almost feel like I'm on a good run with that. So I probably want to do the top set. But then if I'm only getting myself amped up to do 4 reps, it's like, is it really worth it?
I'd say we're all right for another probably at least week to 2 weeks anyway.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to be coming in tomorrow saying, mate, I'm deloading, devoluming. I think it was probably, it's been just over 4 full weeks. It's been, I think, like 5 training rotations at this point. Because I know, obviously, we both started. You started on the Tuesday, I think, didn't you? Or was it the Monday for you? I started Wednesday. Back up. I think mine was like the 28th of December, so it's been like 4 full weeks from yesterday. But then obviously it's been a little bit mixed with how the rotations have worked, because it's like I've completed more rotations than it's been. So that's that. And probably another week or two. I'd like to say give it another week, and it'll probably be that sick week. I reckon I'll probably go for a devolume. We'll just see how I feel. Like, it's not where we've ever said that we plan devolumes, but the one thing I feel like me and you have both been, we're better at now. We're a lot better now, but we definitely weren't the best when we started. We'd just push on and be like, oh, I'm still progressing, because that's the whole point. You will be progressing, but you just feel just a little bit more, just a little bit sluggish, just a bit slower. Get around to halfway through the session, you're always wanting it to finish, but you're progressing and you're like, oh, I can still go. And then eventually you just hit a bit of a brick wall where you're like, oh, should have done this earlier.
Yeah, I say that to my clients though. Like, you have the same types of clients who they'll progress like regardless, like no matter how fucked they are, like they literally just make sure that they progress, like they force it to happen. It's very rare that your performance will just drop off a cliff and all of a sudden for the next like week everything regresses. Like that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's when you've literally pushed way too hard.
Yeah, but even then, like I don't even think
you rarely ever get to that. Not many people do.
It's very unlikely that that's going to happen. Like you say, if it does, it's like what the fuck, and it wouldn't just happen out of the blue. Like you'd catch it beforehand, but still. You know, if you're nailing everything, like even when you are really, really fatigued, you're probably still going to be able to progress majority of your movements, like especially in the gaining phase. So yeah, like especially for us both now, we do need to be fair, I think we've been managing it a lot better over the past like year. Being more aware of it, because it's very easy to just keep pushing on and keep progressing, but just the same level of sort of intense, not quite there, is it?
Yeah, and we always say when we get to the end of a devolume, like we'll do like the first week back on full volume, and we'll say, fucking hell, we need to do that more often, because you just feel so much fresher, you feel better. And even in a devolume, like it's still something that I think, again, we struggle with in the sense of that psychological thought of, you don't slow down progression. Progression doesn't stop. You still can progress. But it's almost that thought of, oh, well, I don't want to be doing less when everything's going right. But like I said, it's going to be where we most likely just need to reassess. So probably another week or two at full volume, we'll just see how it goes. I always like, I think I got asked a question on Sunday about like devolumes and when to plan them in. And I was like, and I think it was the same with like volume. And I was like, they shouldn't ever really, 5 weeks you have to deload. No, I don't think there should really be any kind of set point where you should be like, right, I need to deload at this point. Like we've always just gone off like just our general feedback, how we feel in the moment. So yeah, that's me. Anything about yourself? You saw your first 220 pound. You got an update on the Natty News Daily. And mate, can I just say, you know the guy who runs the page, did he comment saying sick luck on a post that he created?
Leroy,
yeah, Leroy, mate. Like imagine me on my Team R Fit page putting up a coaching transformation and me commented, wow, insane work, guys.
Yeah, but that's a bit different because that'd be you complimenting yourself.
Nice.
To be fair, he's a nice guy.
Seems it.
Yeah, 220 pounds. Got a few messages like, wow, amazing, mate. Well done. Then like the next 2 days, I was 219 and a half and then 219 because I have... I've up food, of course I have, yeah.
Thought you were. You've got body weight one day, up.
Yeah, I got a Domino's.
That's what it is.
Got a Domino's and then thought, actually, I could just have a Domino's every day. So I've just added a Domino's on top every day.
On top, so you've had your normal
body weight should go.
Domino's on top.
Yeah, just completely on top, so body weight should go up. But yeah, like it's funny because people message me like, oh, 220, like, and then like a couple of days after, people are like, why is your weight going down? It's literally a pound. Like, if obviously I post my weight every day, like, and it's just because it's a habit now, like, I've done it for years. Like, if you were to watch and look at it every day, like, you'll see that it doesn't just linearly increase, like, it goes up and down all the time. Like, so yeah, but it's funny that people focus so much on it. Like, even like I said to you, I think, was it Monday I was 220 and you were like, oh, 220 in the gym, and I was like, yeah, but I feel like I've been 220 for the past like few weeks because I've been 218 219 218 219, like I've been close to it, so it's not as if it's been like, oh, amazing, I've hit 220, it's a massive like achievement. It's like, not really, like I was always gonna hit it.
I don't think a weight is an achievement, if I'm honest.
Of course it's not, like, it depends on so many things. Like if I was an inch taller, I'd have been 220 months ago. If I was 6 inches taller, I'd have been 220 years ago. Like, it's not really, it doesn't really matter, does it? Maybe I've just grown in height. This offseason, I haven't even grown. I'm just taller. I'm actually as lean as I was when I competed. I've just grown 8 inches.
Yeah, makes sense, mate. No, that's a real good thought process, that. Imagine coaching like a 13-year-old and he's like gained 7 kilos and you're like, wait, how tall are you? Are you taller than
you have to like have like a separate column for height. Like, yeah. Track that height, once a week, mate. Just once a week. You don't have to do it daily, but track it once a week.
Yeah. Like his body weight goes up and you're like, yeah, but mate, you've gained half a centimetre. You probably need more food.
Probably not muscle.
It's probably not muscle. You probably need more food. I want you to have a Domino's on top of every meal.
On every meal,
you have to have a Domino's.
Bring it up. Sorry, it's me again, guys. It's meal two time. Yeah. All right, we'll send it.
Yeah, so the normal, yeah.
Imagine that's how expensive that'd be. Fucking hell.
Mate, like 20 quid per meal. Fucking hell.
How was your oodles?
Not too bad, mate. Did you see the photo of me looking like I've won the Premier League Player of the Month? That's what it was.
That guy Reece, he's so funny.
Oh, fuck off, mate. Yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. Oh, I said to the guy on the, on the till, my best mate.
Do you know Finn Kelly coach?
No, I said my best mate loves the caramel chicken, but I don't want it. What do you think? Like, and he gave us a bit, like, you know, like two pieces to try. I wasn't a fan, mate. I'm surprised,
it is,
if I'm honest,
sweet, isn't it?
How you like that with where your food's at in a game phase.
That's what, because I'm all right. I only have that once every, very rarely. It's not, if I had that like every week, I'd probably be like, this is sickly.
Yeah, because I had one bite and I was like, wow, that is so sweet. Yeah. Like, it's so...
I do have a bit of a sweet tooth, though. Like, I quite sweet foods. Like, especially, like, sweet, savoury foods. Like, I'm not a fan of, like, just having, like, cake or anything like that. But I quite like something sweet when it's supposed to be savoury. Like, I like barbecue pizza, barbecue sauce on pizza. Yeah. Like, things like that. I find it easier to eat. So yeah, I do like the oodles. So what did you get?
I got two boxes, but I ate half of each because I just wanted to try. And I wanted to try a few things out. I didn't know how big the large boxes would be because I saw them and it was instead of like my final meal, which is pretty hefty on a training day. So I was like, right, one probably isn't going to be enough. I reckon I probably would have like one and a small, like one large and a small for that final meal if I was to, you know, just have it in. But like they were really filling. So they were a lot heavier than the boxes look. So I got...
Box looks tiny, doesn't it? But you get loads.
Yeah. It was a decent amount of food. Do you get one large or do you get two?
No, I get a large because it is a lot. Like,
yeah, I didn't think it would be looking at the size. Yeah. You know,
I could force myself to have a large and another one, but
yeah,
same with the other. I wouldn't want. Yeah. To just end up feeling.
I probably ate like 50% of each. I had like all the. You get loads of chicken as well. I was probably well over my protein yesterday. That's for definite. Yeah, but I had, I think it was like, I had both rices being like egg fried rice and garlic rice. And I had like garlic chicken and salt and pepper chicken. So it was like pretty simple. And then the other one was like the noodles, garlic rice again in that. And then like sweet chicken. I can't remember. And then I think it was it was a different chicken, but it was decent.
There's loads of options, though, isn't there?
Yeah, I preferred the rice ones, if I'm honest. I thought the noodles were okay.
Yeah, the noodles they're all right. The annoying thing is when you get I get garlic rice and veg noodles. But often it just ends up being noodles. They give you like minimal rice. So I feel like you're probably better off just getting rice.
Yeah, when I had the noodles and the rice, because I had noodles and rice, it literally was like I was searching for the rice. Yeah, and I was like, it's not that much.
I think, I'm assuming the noodles must be cheaper for them or whatever, or they maybe run out of rice more or whatever. So
yeah, I'm not too sure. But yeah, either way, it was good. So considering that they absolutely love you there, mate, and they literally walked in, they were like, are you Finn Kelly Coach's training partner? I was like, oh, yeah.
Did they get the red carpet out for you as well? Did they ask you to guest pose? I have to guest pose every time I go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what, do you just strip down? Side chest? Is that what it is?
Yeah. They cheer my name, like, Finn.
They call you Mr. Finn. That's what they call you, Mr. Finn.
They chant my name and get the red carpet out. And sometimes there's, like, people there with fans. Like, you know, when, like, I can... So when I'm doing my pose and they've got, like, big Leaf fans... Like just pulling me down. Shannon loves it as well.
Feeding you grapes while you're posing.
That's my boy.
Yeah. And they're feeding you grapes, and they're like,
no, they're feeding me the caramel chicken.
Okay, caramel chicken, yeah. And are they saying like this is the guy who finished third in the UK DFBA Juniors 2019 or 20?
He's come to Oodles. Oh my god.
Yeah, ridiculous. You should have seen the judges' scorecards. It was so close to first. That's what it was. I think that's a good summary. Is there anything else you wanted to touch upon, mate? Anything? What have we spoken about?
My beard.
We're going to do an Instagram. No, we're going to do an Instagram live, aren't we?
Yeah, but we'll have done it by this time that this comes out.
Yeah, we fucked it.
I'm gonna do a story. We'll both do a story about it on Saturday morning.
Whose Instagram are we going to do it on?
Don't matter.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Right.
We'll just do it.
Anything that we touched upon in the week that we could cover, or is that?
I don't think so.
Right. Question time. You said you've got loads.
Let's go. You do yours from last week first.
All right. I need to get them up. Oh, three Instagram notifications. I just got a message saying enjoy that Chinese from Kieran Daly or Dally, and I'm going to be like, well, I had it last night, mate, but if you want me to have another one.
So yes,
clearly I need one now.
Last night me and Shannon went to Tesco. I went in my blue light blockers.
Yeah.
As we were leaving, this lad with his hood up walking up to me, pointing at me and smiling, and then he goes, blue light blockers. And I just went, yeah, and like laughed. And then afterwards I was like, that was Kieran. I thought he had his hood up and I had my blue light blockers on. So I couldn't really see him. And then he messaged me, you know, when I put my questions box up.
Yeah, yeah.
He put a question saying, like, what brand are the blue light blockers that you couldn't see me through last night? Something like that.
Oh,
and then he was like, I must be made entirely of blue light. I fully blocked him out. I felt bad because afterwards I was like, I think that was him. But because he had his hood up, I couldn't tell. And yeah, because he was made of blue light, I couldn't see him.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe if he was £220, you would have probably given him some respect. You know, that's what it was. Well, right,
he's not 220 like me. I thought he's not 100 kilos.
Oh yeah, 100%, mate, 100%. So, yeah, I haven't got actually that many questions. I got two or three. Both, two of them are from the same guy, JR Fitness 365. I think his name's Jamie, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully, doing all good, mate. He's asked things you notice / do as a coach to see if a client is adhering correctly, and then also tips for a new PT to ensure clients adhere to the plan. So, I think we can hypothesize he might be having some clients that are not adhering. I feel like that's probably quite a good estimate. Now, I'm not too sure if you said things you notice / do. I'm not going to be setting traps for someone and being like, oh, I'm doing this to hope this happens. And then be like, ha-ha, you're not adhering.
Telltale signs are there, aren't they? You can tell if someone's not adhering.
Experience will help massively with something like this. Like, a lot. Because you'll just be able to see and go, this isn't making sense, you know? So what would you say? What would you say one of these signs are? Like, I would say general experience obviously will help you gauge the signs, but what would you be looking for, you know, if something like, I would, don't say the obvious is, because it's like,
if you're in a fat loss, obviously if let's say you've got them in a position where you would be expecting them to be in a deficit and they're saying that they're doing everything right, they're nailing their food, they're nailing their expenditure, their sleep's good, their stress is low, everything's aligned to lose weight, let's say, and they're not. Okay, cool, let's make a change. Yeah, let's reduce food. Let's push steps up a little bit more. They're still not losing weight. Let's do it again. Still not losing weight. Yeah, realistically, that's not right. That's not how the human body works. Like, if what was maintenance 8 weeks ago, which you've now created more of a deficit, is still maintenance, that's not correct. Yeah, and even if, like, sometimes people have, like, let's say they might have like a thyroid issue or something like that, where sometimes it can make it more difficult and you might have to push them a lot harder, or they might have an under or overactive thyroid where you think, fucking hell, you know, we shouldn't have to be on this low food. But even still, that's very rare. And ultimately it's that's not usually the case. Usually the case is that they're lying. Simple as that. They're either lying knowingly or they're not even aware. They overeat without realizing, they don't track it. Like, oh, I'll just say I did my steps. I was only 500 under. Let's imagine you're 500 under every single day. That's 3,500 steps that you're missing out on. That 3,500 steps.
If you've gotten 7,000 steps a day, that's half a day's worth of steps. You know, it's
mental. That could be a big difference. So, yeah, things like that. I also think when people's weigh-ins, for example, let's say they're in a diet phase and their weigh-in is, let's say, 220 pounds. 219 pounds, 218 pounds, 217 pounds, 216, 215, 214, 213, 212. So I guarantee that's not what's happening. Like, that's not how the body works. Also, these are usually the same people who put in that they're hitting their macros bang on. They're hitting their steps bang on. If you've got 10K steps, no one's hitting exactly 10,000. Like, if you are, fair play, but you're not. Yeah, you might hit like 10,100, or you might hit just slightly under that day. Like, I have a lot of clients on an average rather than a daily goal. So I say, don't matter if you have a bit under on one day, you just got to make up for it on other days. So at the end of the week, you're hitting the average. But again, you know, the same people are the ones who say that they're doing, you know, same with their sleep. Yeah, apparently every night they're getting 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours. What's the quality? 100%, 100%, 100%. That's not happening. So usually, you know, they're the telltale signs in terms of like the data collection, and then the signs in terms of, you know, the results are if they're not getting the results that you would expect, especially when, like you say, if you've got experience of working with, like we have now, like hundreds of people over time. If they're, you know, oh, I'm the only one that's doing everything right and nothing's changed, obviously you're not doing everything right.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think it's an interesting one. And I always say, like, a lot of individuals, and I think it's human psychology, it's what I mentioned last week, they only ever want to say stuff that's positive. And in reality, like, I actually went through the check-in duration today of a client, Alfie. I had a look through. He had a bad week, had like a COVID vaccine, and he just said he felt awful, had a few days off. I said to him, it's like, it's fine, like, I can understand. And like, his check-in this week, didn't send a voice note through, just sent a few messages. And I was like, this isn't like you, mate. Like, this is, you're better than this. And I was like, look at the durations of all these check-ins. I was like, the ones that are good, they're usually lesser in duration. The ones that are longer are when we require a lot of changes and we require some feedback. So unfortunately, I felt like, again, it's how people kind of perceive certain situations. They don't want to not own up to their like faults, but if they haven't hit their steps, be honest. If they haven't hit their macros, be honest. You know, if you're just putting everything perfect, and then how as a coach can we interpret that and actually say, right, why is there a reason that this hasn't worked or that hasn't worked? So yeah, I definitely think it goes hand in hand. And then when it comes to The second part, you know, tips for a new PT to ensure clients adhere to the plan. What would you say, let's say, if you're starting out, tips for yourself or something that you looked for to kind of make sure that, that people stick to it? So I feel like this could be answered in a few different ways. You could almost just kind of take it around and say, you need to tell somebody this is what you need to do based off the results and based off what they want out of it.
As a PT, I think it helps to, rather than just have it, let's say you have someone for one session a week, like you're literally seeing them for 1 hour out of an entire week. So I think it helps. You almost want to have like a hybrid model of like how you would potentially set up online coaching alongside personal training. So for example, like if you think how we have our coaching set up, if we were also PTs and we had one session with every client, like we could obviously still have all the data that we need, but we'd get to see them once a week and go through their training in person rather than maybe, let's say, going through it in form videos. So what are you doing there?
What's that, mate? I got a guest. There he is. How you doing, Bear? You on the Once You're In, You're In podcast. Oh, you're right, mate. I think he wants a walk, but I've said I'll take him later. Right, see you later, mate.
Sorry for people just listening. Yeah. It was a dog. It was a doggo. What kind of dog is it? A black one.
Black Labrador. Yeah, black one. That's it. Black Labrador.
Does he like a gym pin up his ass?
He loves the one, actually. There's a reason why you took the gym pin off me, mate. He's been so disappointed recently. God, nobody's going to get that. I don't know if we've ever mentioned the gym pin.
Don't need to.
No, I think you should. The Warehouse gym pin dog. At Warehouse is a dog. Finn went to get the gym pin once to put it in the Nautilus shoulder press. The dog was right next to it. I said, you better be careful with that gym pin, mate. And Finn turned around and said, mate, the worst thing is I thought the exact same thing. And then ever since that...
It's always there. Like, it's always
Next to the shoulder press. So if you weren't paying attention, instead of going into the machine on 30 kilos, it's going into a dog that probably weighs 30 kilos.
Imagine. Just walking around with it, hanging out.
Whacking on 30 kilos. Which one? The dog or the gym? the weight stack?
God. Anyway, awful. Right.
Lost train of thought. Sorry, Jamie. Dog interrupted. And then we talked about gym pinning a dog.
I covered the question anyway. Like a hybrid approach is good. But they're not just sort of left to their own devices for an entire week, let's say. And then they come back and you don't have a clue what their nutrition's been like. You don't have a clue what anything else has been like. All that you can do is, and this is what a lot of PTs do, is just bury that client for an hour and then go, see you next week. It's like, they're never going to get results like that unless they're the type of individual, which I had quite a few who, like, they're happy to like nail all the other things outside of it. But you're never going to know that without that being the case. But usually with personal training clients, don't get me wrong, there will be plenty out there that are going to do those things. But a lot of the time they are the type who just want to come in for a session. They don't want to think about everything else. They kind of just want to be beasted, if you like, for that hour. And then they're like, at least I've done my PT session. And they go and tell Barbara next door. And it's like, great, you've got a PT. Like, no one really cares. I think a lot of clients when I was a PT almost, and this isn't just for me, this is for like a lot of the other PTs at the gym as well. They just have a PT to say they've got a PT.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not making, they don't make the most out of the service because, you know, like I say, you might be, even if you're, like I had clients who I was doing like three sessions a week with, but still, if they're, you know, eating whatever they want and they're not really focusing on their sleep or they're going out and drinking every weekend, those three sessions aren't really going to do a lot.
No, definitely not. Unless it's before they go out and you absolutely just ruin them with like 25 working sets of a hack squat and deadlift. And then you're like, right, best luck going out now, mate.
And they can't
like, that's why all the PTs just nail and just ruin every single client who comes through the door for them. And just literally they're like, oh, they're knackered now. They're probably not going to be staying up eating food. They're just going to go to bed when they get home.
Just order Domino's because they can't be asked to cook.
on top of every meal as a minimum. That's what it is. But yeah, that's that. I got asked a few more, but like one was, you know, I'm not even going to answer. I really dislike these questions. Like the person X, person Y, person Z, who's going to win if they all compete? Down to the judges. We're not person judges. X.
If he's got an X ring.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll look fucking weird. Person Y, tiny legs.
Nah, mermaid. That'd be it. Think about it.
Fucking hell. You've never seen a mermaid in my life. You win.
Imagine. Like, then what was it? Zed. Well, mate, your spine's a bit fucked. That's what it would be.
Scoliosis.
They'd be like, oh, I love that, mate. God. Right. On to your questions then, mate, if you fancy it.
No, I don't fancy it.
Okay, sound. End of the podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.
All right. Miles Mason. Good old Miles. I hope you had a nice birthday, mate. He says, dogs or cats? Obviously, we know what Reese likes. He likes gym pinning dogs.
You was the one who picked up the gym pin.
I had a cat, but she's dead now. She's in the garden.
Big killed her.
Big Mabel. I didn't kill her. I don't know what did kill her. Old age, I think it was. I was actually given her by this weird woman when I was little. I was six. She only died like last year, but obviously I moved out anyway. So, and she was just annoying. Like, she was lovely, but just got under your feet a lot. So I'd say dogs. I've never had a dog and I'm scared of big dogs, but never had a dog, mate. But I want, me and Shannon are going to get a sausage dog and we're going to call it Stretch Franklin.
Stretch Franklin. Yeah. Why the Franklin? Is it named after someone? Or just,
no? Yeah. I understand. Yeah. It's named after that famous guy, Stretch Franklin.
No, I don't know if it meant something. Like, you know, when you said like Gulliver's Travels, and
just
I was like,
good. Just sounds good. Yeah. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. Stretch Franklin. Right. Stretch Franklin. Fair enough. Yeah. There we go. Right. Stretch Franklin. Yeah. God. Right. You're one, mate. You're just going to have to go from, I'm going to lock my phone now. That's me done. So
this is from AJ Balwa. It's a bit of a...
Doing a men's physique pose. Doing a men's physique pose.
I think he will do men's physique. He looks pretty good when he did the poses today. He's been like struggling with them a little bit. But I said to him, like, it takes ages to get better at posing. Like, it's not just going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bit depressing. Would you rather know when you're going to die or know how you're going to die?
That's a good question, that. You don't like questions like this, do you? You're scared of death. That's the thing. Never had a dog. Scared of death, you know?
I think I would like to know, because like, if someone told me that you're going to die next week, I'd be like, right, I'm not doing check-ins this week, guys. Me and Shannon are going to go somewhere, or, you know what I mean? Like,
really? I thought you'd be like, right, straight on it. Checking
on
the one, being like, oh, God. We already spoke about our death Romeo being M3 or M4, depending on when we're getting put down, so... Yeah,
because I feel like as well, if you're told how you're gonna die,
yeah, it would depend.
You'd be waiting for it all the time, especially if it was something like car crash. Like, you'd be like, "Fuck."
You know, it's weird, mate. I genuinely, you know, like I it took me about a year. No, it wasn't less than that. About 6 months to start learning to drive, because I was like convinced at like 15, 16, 17 that like if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die in a car crash. Like,
without you drive, mate.
Oh, man, I don't try. I'm sound. Yeah, that's what I thought I'd die from. So if I'm going to die, that's how I reckon it would be personally. That's why when I was like 15, 16, hopefully I don't die of car crash. But I think if I'm being honest, like the vast majority of people, if they found out, it would just be the like old age cancer, you know, there wouldn't be anything like, oh my God, I get thrown
spontaneously combust.
Yeah, I get thrown into a combine harvester and end up getting spun out the back of it. Fantastic. I'm not going to go into combine harvesters now.
Yeah, but it's got to happen. Like, yeah, I'd much rather know when.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because then as well, if it's like, let's say it was like, I'm going to live to 105, I'd be like, oh, fucking hell, I've got ages. I've got loads of time.
If it was 105, I'd be like, I better up the dose. Fucking hell, get away with that. Yeah, so that's what it would be. Yeah. Reese is like 26.
Yours will be like 30.
Yeah, exactly. Big cheat. It's like, you're not making it past 30. I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
The world pass knows. The God knows. God knows if you've taken gear and he punishes you for it.
Yeah, he smites me down. He says, you dirty cheat. And he rewards all the UKDFBA. If you compete in a natural show, it's just you're living to 100.
You go straight to heaven. If you're a natty, straight to heaven. You're a good person.
Yeah, exactly. You know when you get to 100 and you get the letter from the Queen?
Yeah.
You know, if you're assisted, you don't get it. Like, even if you're 100,
if you're natty, you only have to get to 30 and you get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations for staying natty. Took so much hard work.
From the Natty News Daily, you get a letter come through, and then Leroy drops you a message like, "Mate, fantastic message that."
I can't believe you got that letter.
I can't believe you got that letter, mate. Ridiculous.
I said,
"Well done." Oh no. Yeah, right. That's a good question. To be fair, from AJ.
Next one is from Oren. Living like a bodybuilder. Well, they actually said living like a BB. I have to speak to Sanaya about that. I don't really know. Like a BB. Yeah. Living like a BB because you like it, but not wanting to compete. Opinions on this? I think that is spot on. I think that's how most people, if you enjoy training and you enjoy looking after yourself, that's kind of how you should live. Not everybody, but you know what I mean?
When I said you should
get into training,
Yeah, I think that's how it should be, because like the vast majority of people who don't compete, like even if, let's say, you were to tell me I can't compete, I'm still going to have my meals at the same time. I'm still going to have my same structure, because if I was to go into the gym and like we joke about it, like, oh, mate, I haven't drank any water today. Oh, I just forgot to eat. Like if we were to go into a gym and train and I wasn't to progress and I was like, right, why didn't I progress? And I realized I only have one meal instead of three. I'd feel like, all right, Ben, I'd be like, I'm wasting my time.
Even if you weren't to train as well, like, think back to when you were younger and you didn't really train that much. Like, I remember I used to just like play in FIFA and stuff. Like, probably the majority of the day, I'd probably have like a big bowl of cereal in the morning. Then I'd drink Pepsi Max throughout the day. And then I might have like whatever my mum was made for tea at night or whatever. Or sometimes I'd even just be like, if I'd have football, I'd come back and have another big bowl of cereal. Like, you don't realize it at the time, but you just feel like shit. Like, you just, that's the norm. Like, for most people, that's actually the norm as well. Like,
I'd probably drink legitimately like a glass of water a day. Yeah. And I'd be like, I'd have milk with my cereal, that was fluid. And then I'd have like four Fantas a day, or Pepsi or Coke. And like,
a lot of people still live. Yeah. That's how most adults still live. This is why I'm saying like this concept of living like a bodybuilder. I feel like it's more so just looking after yourself.
Yeah, drinking water, eating meals,
eating good food, sleeping well. Like, it's not living like a bodybuilder. It should just be living well.
I feel like in a weird way you get used to it, and then like because I know if I was to wake up tomorrow and I was to have 3 hours sleep, I wasn't to drink any water, I'd have one meal, I'd legitimately feel horrendous, awful, and like, but I swear to you, I would have done that when I was 14, 15 and been like, for sound, you know, you wouldn't realize, like, because you're just naturally acclimatized.
Like, you might do it once and then. You, let's say the next night you go to bed late again, and like before you know it, you feel absolutely horrendous. Like,
oh yeah, definitely.
It's still the day to day is still like, I think when I was at college, I'd probably go to bed at like 1, 2 a.m. and be up at like 6, 7.
No, yeah, mate, like, I do the same.
17. Yeah. And I'd be like, I felt okay, and you just live like that, but you think that that's you think you feel sound. It's like you don't.
Yeah,
you feel like shit.
Yeah, you feel awful.
Sound feels like.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Definitely, mate.
This is from Ben Mitch Fit.
Is he still in Dubai?
He's still in Dubai, mate. Living it up, living the dream.
Yeah.
Assuming water and sodium intake are on point, how important is getting a pump during a workout?
Well, it's not just going to be dependent on sodium, and there's going to be plenty of other things. Like, even if you're fatigued, like if you're heavily fatigued, you're probably going to struggle to get a pump. If you're overly dieted, like for example, towards the latter end of like prep for me, I didn't really like, I got a pump to it, like if I was aiming for one, but like if I was to do like a set of 10, I wouldn't be like, oh my god, I feel everything. It would just be like, oh, got a bit of blood there. So there's going to be a lot of things that depend on a pump, and I would again almost question, you obviously want to get a good amount of blood into a muscle, like it's not going to be a bad thing, but I'm not too sure if he's kind of meaning like, is he not getting a pump? Because I'd be assessing the reasons why, but it's not where you should be searching for a pump all the time. Like, if my pumps are better now than they were a month ago, I'm not like, oh my God, my training's in such a better spot. It could literally be a fair few reasons why, or potentially just differences. Like, for example, insulin sensitivity, I can guarantee your pumps coming out of a show, even though your FUBU was lesser, was probably better than they are now, you know? And that's, again, probably how responsive you are in that moment. So there's going to be a lot of factors. There's a lot of things that kind of dictate and the reasons why a pump kind of fluctuate between being good and being pretty meh.
Yeah, you put like how important. So what would you say like the importance is? Like, let's say you train and never get a pump. Would you be like...
Oh, yeah. You definitely would want to have, like, I don't actually have it on the sheets, but I've asked a fair few clients whenever they tell me they're training, and I'll be like, especially when it comes to periods where they're fatigued and stuff, and I would say, like, how are your pumps? Are your pumps any worse? Like, tell me if they're getting noticeably worse, because it can be a good level of feedback. And if you're never getting a pump, I would definitely question the reasons why. But again, you don't even need to look at, like, I know you mentioned like sodium, obviously there's going to be a fair few like fluid as well, like and stuff like that. But you could even look at it and think, again, if you were to never get a pump, it could just be execution. Like if you're doing an arm movement and you're let's say doing biceps and you're literally just flexing your shoulder and you're getting like, let's say anterior delts getting activated, biceps are probably not going to get the best pump. And there's also going to be that demand where certain exercises, like, mate, how many times do we do an exercise? And you'll be like, I don't even feel that. like, especially when it comes to your presses, like some presses you'll do and you'll be like, I don't even feel the intended muscle fire. You know, it's just where you feel it through your shoulder joints. And I'll be like, well, your pecs are working, but you don't feel it. You know, so.
Yeah, what I would always say to clients, like, the goal of a session isn't to get a pump. Otherwise, yeah, exactly. We would do pump style training.
So which I feel about, like we all did. We definitely did.
Yeah,
when we started.
Yeah. Like, and even still, like, to an extent, I do have some metabolic work in for clients, like, especially towards the end of sessions, where the goal isn't just to get a pump. The goal is more so to accumulate as much sort of metabolic stress as possible, but that then does usually lead to getting a pump as well, especially if you're well hydrated and you're not overly fatigued and you're on a decent amount of food and whatnot. But like, I remember, especially towards the end of prep, like not when it was coming towards sort of feeding back up, but when my food was pretty low and, you know, I was digging relatively hard, like I remember I'd never got a pump. Like, yeah. I was cold all the time. Like, I just didn't, no matter what I did, it wasn't like, oh, I've got a good pump today, because I was just so underfed. Like, yeah. It's like, it's almost impossible to get a pump at that point when you're freezing cold all the time because you're so lean. Your energy levels are really low. Also, your training volume is very low to try and hold on to performance rather than trying to get a pump. So,
and you're not doing double drop sets.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Depends on so many things. And yeah. You know, exercise selection and programming is a massive one of those. You know, if a client said to me, like, oh, I'm not getting a pump, I want to get a pump every session, then I'd be like, right, well, then this is what we should do. Like, yeah. At the minute, your training isn't prioritizing getting a pump, yeah. It's prioritizing progression, like, across the board. Getting a pump is great, and we want that, you know, ideally, we want
as a byproduct as well of our training. Yeah,
we don't want it to be the main goal. So it's not the most important thing. If you're not getting a pump at all, then it's a little bit concerning. We might look at why, especially if you're in like a progressive state in an off season like Ben is. But yeah, like if you are getting a bit of a pump and some sessions a bit better than others and some movements a bit more than others, then that's normal. You know, it's not as if we're searching for the amazing pump every session. Like I say, otherwise we'd be doing supersets and we'd be minimizing rest periods and whatnot.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like I had this exact conversation on a check-in with, do you know Andrew Horn, you know, the lad from Leeds who looks pretty decent? And the first time he signed up, this was like literally over a year ago at this point. I remember him saying, like, mate, I feel a bit weird. Like, the sessions are, from like a pump perspective, are nowhere near what I used to do. And I was like, what do you used to do? And he was like, 3 sets of 10 to 15, 30 to 90 seconds rest. And he was telling me, he's like, training. And I was like, well, yeah, of course you can get a pump that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, but the main goal of this isn't to get a pump. I was like, on that kind of training style, did you get stronger over the last 6 months? And he was like, well, yeah, but not really. It was just a bit here or there. And I was like, right, trust this for 6 months. And
did
just
you
see
grow that much? Probably.
Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly. So like, we all go from positions. I feel like, again, I think people now are better because there's more access and information available. But like, if you were to have a look at, let's say, some of mine and Finn's sessions when we were coming up, was like 17, 18, 19, 20, we probably were doing more pump style, like emphasized training. Mate, I remember,
go on.
No, I was saying, like, I remember when we first started training together and we'd already kind of gone for like the top set, back off set, lesser volume approach. But like before that, mate, we were literally, I can guarantee, 4 sets of 20 with minute, we were tracking rest time. And how much, like, do you ever say to someone now? And I always say when people start up, don't worry about rest, literally rest as long as you need, unless it states like an intensifier, then do not worry about rest. Go until you, like, wait till you need to go again. If we were going after a pump, we'd be like, right, 90 seconds, guys, 60 seconds, you know, stop
when
there, go again.
At Hollywell, I used to do like a flat barbell press into like a plate chest press into
standing,
like,
or lying. No, standing or lying. Standing.
Standing.
Oh, fucking hell.
Into like deliberately just standing there and squeezing my chest for like 30 seconds. I used to do shit like that.
Yeah.
I was massive back then as well, so I should carry on. Should have carried on.
Yeah. No, God, that's all. I'm trying to think of anything that I did that was like,
to be fair, though, like, the pump was insane, but
do you remember our walking lunges, leg extensions that we used to finish on? They were decent. That was more, that wasn't pump kind of training. That was literally finish ourselves off. We used to do, like, 3 sets back-to-back of lunges to, and then into leg extensions to lunges, leg extensions, and we just took it in turns. But that wasn't really, like, pump-style training because that was actually hard. That was challenging. Pump style is when you have, like, 100 reps in reserve.
It's literally just easy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I used to do the, you know, the Ziz high to low cable flies, you know, when you'd see like people doing it in stringers into like press ups. And then I'd like to go onto an incline bench and do them there because it'd be a little bit easier. So it was like a mechanical drop set afterwards. I'd do a regular press up into an incline press up, which to be fair, mate, do you remember that guy who said if you do it, it works, actually your upper chest doing an incline press up. So
incline press up, yeah. Upper chest, decline for lower.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense. But yeah, trust me, guys, I have 100,000 followers. Oh god, hopefully no one knows who that is. Yeah, and to be fair, for the audio,
I feel like a lot of people have actually said that before though, because they just think incline means upper chest, because obviously if you're doing a dumbbell or whatever, but then when if you're doing a press up, obviously it's like the opposite, but people wouldn't think like that.
Thoughts
on this is Aaron's burner account again, Geo Ashley. Thoughts on Mike Oxmal training program? Do you know who that is?
Do you know?
No. I'm going to have a look.
No. That's that. Next question.
Should we have a look? Mike.
Yeah. Mike Oxfowl?
Ox M-A-L-L. Mate, I've put it in on Instagram and nothing comes up. Like
Mike.
Mike Oxmal. Or Oxmall. I don't know if I'm saying it wrong.
Typed in Ox and Oxlade-Chamberlain popped up and I was like, I don't really think he'd be selling training plans.
Thoughts on Mike Oxmall or Oxmal training program?
Mike O'Hearn? That's the only Mike O'Hearn.
We're going to move on because we don't know what it is or who it is. Sorry, mate. Yeah. Right, Perrin, he said, what's next for you both in terms of coaching? How will you both become better? We're going to switch to RIR training.
Yeah, we're going to follow the trends. That's what we're going to go with. Just going to RIR, going to preach how good it is. Finn just answered that. To be fair, I think it's a good question. And I feel like it's one of those where I think what we'll do is literally what we've already been doing. Like, it's just the same stuff over and over and building up a good name. Obviously you could always be doing more, and I always I say this to clients, but like, you should always be questioning the work you're doing. So like me and Finn, I think there's no doubt in our mind that we've done well from where we were a year ago, where we were 2 years ago, but could we have done better potentially? And that's why I miss how you almost want to be. You want to be progressive and you want to be thinking, well, I've done all right, but could I be doing better? And I think we always could. So we've spoke, and to be fair, something that we do need to be getting sorted. We want to be looking at video content, so YouTube content. I know you spoke about getting an editor for the podcast, trimming them down, Instagram clips, etc. And I feel like stuff like that, more content out there, because the vast majority and the bulk majority of our day is taken up with coaching, which is a dream, but we could always be a little bit more optimal, which I feel like is something that, again, most likely be working towards. And I think from a coaching standpoint alone, if we were to focus on the coaching, it would be, as mentioned before, and I've actually been taken out of context. I had one of my clients mate, please don't sack me, I'd love to still be working with you. And I said obviously our people that we're working with are most likely shifting and trending upwards in the sense of skill and their level of ability, but I definitely think as we build up a name, more people that are kind of applying to be in a position where they want to be coached, who are at a higher level relative to when people start off in coaching. When we started off, it's most likely just lifestyle clients, where now most people have some competition aspirations or they've got a long-term goal that sounds really exciting, where, like I said, we'll still get people who sign up who want to work with us, who, let's say, lifestyle clients. That's always going to be the case of most coaches, up into a point where you are literally just a prep coach or whatever. But yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of areas we could have done better and we could be better, and I always think therefore we need to be better, and that takes time, and we're here for it. That's what we'd say. So what about you, mate? What would you say to take the next steps?
I agree with all that. I think a lot of it is experience as well, and getting your name out there. I think, you know, a lot of the best, quote unquote, best coaches might not necessarily be the most well-educated coaches. Often they're the guys who have been around for quite a long time, the guys who put out a lot of content, the guys who get good results. I know for both of us, pretty much, you know, a lot of our clientele come from word of mouth. Perrin, for example, has got me probably another five clients or so since he started, because obviously he's happy with how everything's going, and then obviously that spreads and things like that. So ultimately, long term, it is down to experience and continuing to provide a good service. That's how you, in my opinion, become a successful coach. You know, it's what relationships you build up with your clients, and how you continue to sort of support and manage those clients. It's not just about how many clients you've got, because it's all well, like for me especially, like I don't want to have hundreds and hundreds of clients. Like I'd rather have, let's say, 50, 60 clients, and especially in the future, have it where, you know, they are majority of them are quite high level, and have a really good close relationship with all of them, where you kind of see them all as like close mates. Like that is what I want to get it to in the future. But yeah, also at the minute, like obviously my main focus is on me and Shannon getting a house. So like a lot of my spare time and money is going towards that. So once we do get a house, I'll be putting more time and effort into like the coaching, if you like, progressing the coaching side of things, both in terms of like the systems and websites and things like that. But also like doing more sort of educational stuff on my end. Like you said, like it's almost, it's like a blessing and a curse. The busier yeah. you get, the less time you have to educate yourself. So you need to really force yourself to make that time, because yeah. we have minimal time to do a course or even like listen to other people's podcasts anymore. Like we don't have that much time to do that. Like majority of the time, like, even when I'm driving, like to and from Ultraflex, I'm doing work. Even to and from Warehouse or Premier, it's 20 minutes, I'm doing work. Yeah. Like on the yeah. sunbed, a lot of the time we are doing work. Like, so it's like, it's not as if we get that much free time to be like, and when, like we've said before, when we want to chill, it's like, right, I actually want to switch off. I don't want to be then like, oh, I've got an hour this evening. Let me, you know, go and learn loads of bodybuilding content, or let me go onto this website, or let me book onto this course. So yeah, but like I say, for now, like I want to get a house sorted. And then when I have got that, and that's like the main thing that's in the back of my mind at the minute. I feel like once I get that sorted, I can be like, right, you know, that's that ticked off. Now I can put that extra sort of time and energy outside of my work and my training in towards more of my work and sort of educating myself more.
Yeah. So basically you get more time away from your work to get your work to be in a better position for your work. That's pretty much that. That's how it is.
Then you die.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully we actually find out how we die, when we die, not how we die.
Yeah. This is from Will Jones. Did you see his post the other day?
Which one?
His cheesecake. His cheesecake post.
No, I didn't. What was it? I'm going to have to search it. Sorry.
He's dieting. He's dieting. Yeah. So he
loves a pizza, doesn't he? He fits a pizza in, doesn't he? Fits a pizza in onto his macros. Yeah,
I think he's taken the pizza out.
Oh, no. Right. Biscoff cheesecake without the cheese or cake. 500 calories.
No, I just commented on it, like, can tell you're dieting. So, yeah, he's not struggling, though. He's doing well, actually.
3 weeks into a diet, and he's already making food swaps and stuff like that.
It is pretty aggressive, though, the diet, relatively.
Is it?
Yeah. But, yeah, he's put, existing client wants functional / punch bag high-intensity interval training added in for enjoyment. What do you say? If you're asking
why
me,
why do you want this in? Yeah, what will? Why do you want this in? We've already come to the conclusion. With Will, he asks questions to the podcast, but he wants to say it to you, and he doesn't want to say it, so he's just mentioning it to see, and then he's going to say, "Hey, mate, is there any chance I can have this in?"
I wouldn't care at all. Like, if Will wanted to do that, I'd be like, "Yeah, it's absolutely sound." If, let's say, someone who is looking at competing, especially like soon, wanted to do that, I'd be like, it's not going to be practical. But like, if Will wanted to do it, I really wouldn't be against it. We could look at doing it on rest days. It depends on the client, obviously. Even if it's not Will, like, it depends completely on the client. Like, let's say, if I'll use Perrin again as an example, obviously he's competing this year. Like, if he was to say to me, like, oh mate, can we add in some like punch bag work, I'd be like, no. Like, why would you want to do that? You need to rest. Your cardio needs to be as sort of non-invasive as possible. You need to just put all your time and energy into your training and your recovery. But for someone else who's maybe more of a lifestyle client who wants to do some more enjoyable form of cardio, then yeah, doing something like that would be sound.
Yeah, no, I agree. I always think, like, if that's something that they're going to lead to adherence and they enjoy it, why not?
Yeah,
exactly. As long as it isn't, as you mentioned, invasive towards your training, then crack on. I have a few clients who I know, again, Andy, two mentions in one podcast, fucking hell, he's lucky. He does some boxing work on Thursdays, rest day. I said to him, like, when he mentioned it, he was like, do you mind if I do it? And I was like, Is it going to be optimal? Probably not. But is it going to be, if it's going to be counterproductive, I'll tell you, stop doing this. And I know Andy would be like, okay, Sam, I won't do it because his training will be priority. But his food's high, he's recovering well, and he enjoys it. So it's like, it's not really impacting him too much. So it's not impacting at all, really. So yeah, that's how it is. But again, I feel like it would be the same as if like one of your clients, like let's say you wanted to play football again, like you'd be like, yeah, sure, we'll try and fit it in. But like it'd be that kind of balance between...
The only issue is people get injured. So
yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, you kind of got, as long as you're aware of the consequences, then it's not a problem. But you know, the last thing you want is to be like, yeah, go for it. Then they get injured and then they're like, oh, I can't train now. Like, it's like, well, you have to sort of weigh up your options. You have to accept that might happen. Yeah. Kieran Daly, he asked me, I said this earlier, what brand are the glasses that I couldn't see him in? They're RA Optics. I bought them ages ago. Probably like
so well
3-4 years ago. Yeah, they fucking should, mate. They're expensive. I can't remember how much they were, but I had to pay tax on top of them as well. I can't remember how much it was. Really? Yeah, from America. It was a joke. They do bend though. But to be fair, I sleep in them, right? Like I fall asleep in them every night.
How the hell do you do that? Do you know?
I've done it ever since
I got them. You fall asleep in glasses that you don't have to wear.
I put them on at about like 7:30. And then, I wear them until I go in the shower. I obviously take them off for the shower, but I keep everything dark. And then I put them back on after the shower. I fall asleep in them. Usually in the middle of the night, they'll either have fallen off or I'll take them off. Like if I like wake up and realize I've got them on. I've used them and fell asleep in them ever since I got them. I don't even notice I'm wearing them anymore. But
I can't even sleep with my Apple Watch on. I've slept with it once on since I've got it.
Mate, I'd probably struggle with that. Like, I don't know why I can do it with these because I've never used to be able to. Like, I literally remember the first few times I wore them, I just fell asleep in them and I was like, I'm just going to keep doing that. They bend because obviously if I fall asleep in them, like I end up moving or whatever and they bend. So every now and again, I have to get, well, Shannon does it, bless her. She gets the hairdryer on them and that bends them back into place.
Because you've got a flat head, mate. So it just weighs them down. You've got a meat head. That's what it is. It just bends them.
They were too big. When I was in prep, they just slipped off my face. Now, they get bent out wide.
Oh, exactly. That's how it is. Too much growth, mate. Face is grown.
This is from Max Dyson Brown. Max is looking very good as well. He's competing this year, isn't he?
I didn't know that. Fair enough. That'd be good to see. Is he not a junior, is he? Is he a junior?
He is a junior.
That'd be exciting.
I think he is, yeah. When can an individual class themselves as a hard, hard, hard trainer?
Hard, hard, hard. Did he actually say that?
I had a couple of clients speak about that this week as well.
Really, the hard, hard, hard. So I think clearly you have to be training 7 days a week. We know that. Like, if you're not training 7 days a week, you're not a hard trainer.
No, you're not a hard, hard, hard trainer.
Hard, hard trainer. You know, I actually spoke to him this week. Ped.
Ped, he's asked another question.
Yeah, I spoke to him this week. He was asking about my highest macros I got when I was natural. And I dropped him a voice though. Like, it doesn't really make too much difference.
He asked the question about that.
Did he? What did he ask?
We'll go on to it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So to summarize, you have to train 7 days a week. You have to have a really busy work life. And
the most important thing is you have to tell everyone that you train hard, hard, hard.
Multiple times. If you don't train hard. Like you need to talk harder than you train.
Someone at least every hour of that day that you train hard, 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 you don't train hard, hard, hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, makes sense. That's by the Bible right there. Right there. No need to debate it.
This is from Big Ped that asked the hard, hard, hard question. Ped the Cyan, he's called. Hey guys, according to you, do the drugs give you more calories intake for itself? Or because with drugs you achieve a heaviest weight, which consequently give you a higher cal intake? And then you put in brackets, shorter question today, laughing face.
So basically, can I say, Finn, you weren't helping me there. I was holding it in because, and you were just like this. You were saying it, look it up, like trying to make me laugh. And I was like, mate, stop.
Mate, I can't help it. It's just, It's not even taking the piss out of him. It's funny how it's written. That is literally it. Like, he's a sound guy. Like, he's really nice. He messages me and asks questions. He's lovely. But yeah, it's just funny when it's like if I was to try and write in French, like, people would be like, how, like, it would sound, it would just speak slightly wrong. So it's quite funny. But basically, he's asking us,
Je suis Rhys, comment t'appelles-tu? That means, what is your name? Je habite England or l'Angleterre?
L'Anglaise.
I live in England.
Is it not L'Anglaise?
Like, oh, is it l'Anglaise? I thought, what's l'Angleterre? What the fuck's that?
Probably not a footballer.
Yeah, imagine. Oh, God.
Yeah, so basically, he's asking us, do drugs give you the ability to eat more food? Or is it the fact that because you're on drugs, you end up being heavier because you have more muscle and that leads to you needing more food?
It's a good question. Well, if we think about it from like an NPS standpoint, and this is actually, I think it was Dr. Mike speak about this, which is quite interesting. Now, I think it's a common thought process. And to be fair, it is true. Anabolism is going to be heightened. NPS, like your muscle protein synthesis, is going to be elevated as a result of androgen use and just general exposure to anabolics. That's pretty much known. So therefore, there's a thought process to, if you think your NPS is higher, you could almost, and your anabolism is higher in general, you'd want to signal even more potential NPS through obviously protein consumption, training, etc., especially when recovery is in a better position, most likely can handle slightly higher food as a result of that. However, it's actually quite funny that I saw on Dr. Mike, I think with a post or something, I can't remember exactly, and he mentioned that, like, you're already in a, when you're at like a high level of androgens, you're already swimming in like way too much NPS in comparison to, let's say, what a natural individual would do. So therefore, he was saying that protein would actually probably be more beneficial for a natural individual relative to kind of an enhanced person, because obviously you've got to imagine that your NPS is going to be significantly lower as a baseline. So definitely some like food for thought there, which is quite interesting. So I haven't really thought about that, because usually it's like, oh yeah, you can handle more food, you can handle this. Protein is usually higher in enhanced individuals. But I would look at it and I'd be thinking, well, the heavier someone is, the higher demand for for food on someone's body is going to be placing. Likewise, if you imagine your performance when you're enhanced, you can handle more volume, you can, let's say, you're going to be stronger most likely as a result of that. Again, you're creating a greater demand for food. If you're training and let's say on a pull session you're pulling 200 kilos from the floor for a set of 10, and then you turn that to 300 kg for a set of 10, I'm not going to say PD is going to add 100 kilos to a fucking hip hinge. Jeez, I think everyone would be pulling ridiculous numbers if so. But if you imagine, like, that's going to create a greater demand for food. So therefore, you'll need more fuel. You'll literally be creating a greater demand week to week. And that's going to be an adaptive sort of process that's going to accrue more body weight over time, which again is going to lead to more food. So there's definitely a lot of thought processes, but I wouldn't say if you were to have person X and person Y and one person's the exact same, and the exact same body weight, exact same, but one person's utilizing androgens, that their, let's say, maintenance level of calories is going to be wildly different. I'd say it would be fairly similar in nature, but it would be with the level that someone works themselves up towards, it would probably be at a heightened and more accelerated, let's say, chance of food being higher when they're utilizing androgens. So what would you say, mate? I'd say that's pretty summarized.
I agree. Well, I don't think it's worth treating them any differently. Like,
no,
if you're enhanced or not, I wouldn't, let's say two people signed up and one was enhanced and one wasn't, I wouldn't just randomly give the person that's enhanced more food and be like, oh, you're going to be able to manage it way better. Like, let's say they were both the same body weight or whatever. Like, I would be like, okay, cool. These are where your targets are. This is where your food is. And then you would obviously assess over time how they're managing it. You know, like exactly what you said, it's more so a case of what you work your body up towards to, or almost like I call it upregulating your metabolism. So basically giving your body or making your body need more food over time, which is generally what we all want to do in the gaining phase. And obviously that's not just through whether you're on anabolics or not, that's more so through how hard you're training and how active you are. That's what determines your food intake, not just whether you're a big cheat or not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, if I was to look at, because I coach a fair few individuals who are obviously enhanced, and if I was to compare their nutrition, it's not where, like, it's where there's a bracket and it's like, wow, you're on this much food, you must be enhanced. Likewise, if I compare to myself, I mean, I've had my food at higher points. My body weight is pretty much the same. And this is actually quite interesting. So you could compare this. Like, my body weight is the exact same as my heaviest when I wasn't utilizing anabolics. And therefore, if I was to look at my food was higher back then. So, and not by a lot, literally by about, I think it was 150 calories. So, like, my food's very high in comparison to where it's been before. But will my food surpass that? Yeah, but that's because I'm going to be doing things that I've never done before. And again, creating a greater demand upon my body. And the fact that my composition isn't in a bad spot. So therefore, like if I was to be pushing, like I can still put on a fair bit of weight. So yeah, it's a good thought process. But I said to him on the voice note, like, you shouldn't be asking about the natural or not. Like, and I said, I know that comes across easy because you'll be thinking, oh, no, this is what you do. Because I feel like it's quite an often thought process when you go from a natural standpoint. You can look and think, oh, this is what the assisted people do. But in reality, training's training, food's food. You know, like, it shouldn't really matter. Especially, and I said to him, like, my really own macros.
Minimal difference.
Like, yeah, like,
you shouldn't they're going to be treated differently.
No.
Apart from the fact you're a big cheat.
Yeah, and the fact that if, let's say, my performance starts to drop or something starts to get affected, instead of looking at training or nutrition, I can just say, oh, let me just start taking this.
Yeah,
and I can just go down the drug side of things. So actual education on training or manipulations on volume, nah. Just throw in an extra 50 milligrams, bro. That's what you should do. Imagine. Right, what are we on, mate? What do you reckon? One, two more? I don't really know what time we are.
I can, yeah, let's. I'll finish off, mate, because there's only a few more and then we'll call it a day. Okay. What was your first session? This is DP Fit. I think, is that your client, DP Fit?
Yeah, DP. Do you want to know something funny? I spoke about something like I said about you. Do you remember Big DP?
Big DP, yeah.
Big DP. Now we've got Big DP Fit. So we've got DP and then Big DP. Different people.
What was your first session together? What was your first session together like, if you can remember?
We did a pull on a Saturday. I remember that. We saw each other in the gym on Thursday. I mean, I remember this. You can tell I'm just in love. That's what it is. I just remember this so well. Mate, don't pull that face. Come on, man. I was only joking. Come on, bro. Don't be doing me like that. Especially on a live stream.
I don't remember.
Live call. Yeah, it was a Thursday. And I remember, I think we said, what, like, because we spoke for months, didn't we, about training?
I was going to say, we didn't train after I first saw you in the gym for a while.
Yeah, like, it was literally the standard, you all right, mate, how you doing? And then I think you came over to me after, like, a dumbbell press, and you were like, oh, that was a good set.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I was like, cheers, mate. I was like, you got the 44s last time, didn't you? And you were like, yeah, and I was like, they were the 46s. And I remember, like, you were like, oh, that's good. And you were like, I couldn't get them for that many reps. And I was like, I thought you did. And you were like, nah. And then we spoke about getting a session in. Like, I think we both just said, oh, we should get a session in, because we were similar numbers-wise, because I wasn't a cheat. So we were similar numbers-wise at this point. And I think we were like, yeah, we'll get a session in. And then that, like, I trained there a few times. And then I remember, I think you said, what are you training Saturday? Or you said, what are you training over the next few days? And I was like, I'm doing this. I was doing, like, I can't remember what exactly. I was going to do pull on Friday. And you were doing pull on Saturday. And I was like, oh, no, I can just shift it. I can do legs or something tomorrow. And I remember, I think that we did the Saturday session. We did the T-bar row. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember doing a pull down with like loads of assisted reps and it was just fucking killing. It didn't even feel good at the end. It was just like...
I remember we did like a really controlled rep pull. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a wide
grip. RDLs for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. But to be fair, that if he's asking, we've answered this question before, Dan, but like if we're talking about how we trained, we just trashed ourselves and did
imagine
like
if we could go back and watch that.
Mate, the thing is that our intensity was like probably really good.
Yeah, but I mean also like just like our interactions and what we spoke about and stuff, like it'd be weird to go back and see.
I find it mental. I think I said this to you before, but I remember like first time, like, and again, this sounds a bit weird to say, but like, the first time I ever saw you, and I remember like specifically you were doing abs and I looked at you and I was like, he looks pretty good. And I looked and was thinking, he's got a similar kind of haircut to me. He's probably around my age. And I was like, who the fuck's this guy? I haven't seen him before. And I was like thinking, I was just thinking, like, who the fuck's this guy? And I remember thinking, like, because I you just stood out. And I was like, he looks quite cool, but I wonder, like, who he is. And then years down the line, mate, we're on a call chatting.
It is weird.
Yeah, you know. And I'm not too sure. When was the first time you saw me? Do you remember? Was it
that time that I took the piss out of you?
I didn't think that was the first time.
I'd never seen you before then. Because I was like, fucking hell, he's a big lad. He looks like about 7 years old. He looks like a baby.
Yeah, I did look like a baby.
He's like, he's quite a big lad in his vest.
Yeah,
it was mental to think you weren't a big lad at all back then.
I was like 80, I was 83 kilos.
Like, you still looked decent, but yeah.
I think it's because we both had the same, like, we both had, like, good arms. I like, all right, delts. So your delts weren't bad, but like in a tank top, even at like 18, 19, you could sell like, oh, they train, you know, he trains. So even though like we were both very small, I remember like you were wearing a fucking Gymshark, like long sleeved, you know, one of those like really small long sleeved Gymshark, like not even a tee, you know what I mean? Like those tops that they used to do. It was like grey.
Might have been My Protein.
I think it might have been My Protein. But yeah, it was like a long sleeve My Protein, like skin tight top. And I, like I said, doing abs, and I was
double
like,
double XS it was.
Exactly. Our times have changed. Now it's like, I need oversized stuff. Back then,
I'm so like, small.
I remember I trained in like a medium Gymshark top once after like, and I got like a nasty arm pump, but I literally like walked around the Pure Gym like, I'm fucking big. I'm huge. It's awful. So yeah, first session, pull. And I think we trained for like 6 months. It was until you went on holiday. And then like our splits kind of fell out of line and we both pissed each other off a lot, to be fair. And then that was, we didn't train together because I went to Leeds that summer. And then I remember when we first properly started training, started training again during lockdown, didn't we?
When we first trained, like, obviously, we both took it seriously, but
we were immature. Like, we were definitely well. Like, something went wrong.
I don't even think it was that. I think partly that, but I also think, like, I don't know, we maybe more emotional towards things as well. So, like, if something, like now, if something pissed us off, we'd just be like, we'd just say it, or it wouldn't be an issue, you know what I mean? Whereas then it was almost like it wouldn't affect the session, but we might be like, oh, that's fucking annoying. And then it'd have like a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
We never got pissed off or fell out or anything. It was just like sometimes you could tell we were both like, we grated on each other a bit.
Yeah. It was weird. Like, I feel like, again, it was like we were learning to know each other. So like our mannerisms and the way we trained, because I'm guessing before that, like I'd always pretty much trained on my own. You were fairly similar. And because we took it quite serious, it was where like that blended approach, like it probably did us quite good that we trained. We knew each other, then we separated for a bit and then we started training again because we knew what was expected.
I do think as well, like, this isn't me being a dick. I think you did grow up a lot because I'm already a couple of years older than you.
Yeah.
So you were like, when we trained together first, how old were you?
Yeah, I would have been young.
Like I was still young, but still at college or something, weren't you?
Yeah.
So, like, you were really young. Like, I was at uni and working as a PT like full time. So I was like, almost transitioned into adulthood, if you like. I feel like you were still young. I didn't think it at the time. Like, I didn't think, but I think you, especially, like, I feel like I've always felt quite mature to an extent. I won't have been as mature as I am now, but I feel like you, even in that like year or so that we didn't train, like, I think you changed quite a lot.
Oh no, it's weird. Like, it's actually funny you say that. I remember when, like, I look back at my life before I went to Leeds and before like that first year of uni, I was properly like, a bit like I remember like how I used to think. It was a lot different. Like, I was quite content. I was with like obviously Sophie, so like one of my exes, and it was where like my life just consisted of just literally seeing her playing FIFA, and that was it. Like what we said at the start of the podcast, like, it wasn't really that. It was obviously, I was always structured about my training, structured about my meals, but yeah, I think definitely a lot changed in like that last year or that year that we kind of met each other. And then, like I said, probably it was where I reckon if it was like I say, I'm a little bit more immature, you were probably as well. But then at the same time, I probably didn't deal with how your perception of me was. And it wasn't like, again, we're probably coming across like we hated each other. It literally would be the sense of like Finn would say something and it would piss me off, and then I wouldn't say anything. And then Finn would know that I'm a little bit off, and I wouldn't say to where now, like, if we were to say something, I'd be like, mate, what the fuck you say that for? And Finn would go, oh, mate, I was only meaning it like that. Or Finn would say, no, this is why. And I'd go,
I'd knock you out.
Yeah, exactly. And then that would be that. And I mean, like, I remember, like, during the last lockdown,
I had a few... bend you over.
Exactly. The gym pin. I remember in the last lockdown, we had, like...
The dense end in. I won't even put the thin end in.
Oh, to be fair, mate, I'd be used to either, so crack on. But yeah, no, two, like I said, like, it's one of those. I think in our entire like friendship, I don't actually think we've never had a full on argument. Like, we told each other to piss off a few times. Like, we've had a few heated debates, but they came round after like 20 seconds and we've gone like, all right, yeah, that sound. Like, that was it. But
once you get to a certain point,
it's not worth it if you get an argument.
Yeah, like, even with Shannon, mate, like, we've never had an argument. Like, we've had little things that might have pissed each other off, and then I'll just say it, and I'm like, right, it's not worth, I'm literally not going to waste my time in this, like, in negative environment. You know, like how in the past, like in a relationship, you won't speak to each other for hours and hours and hours. Like now I'm literally like, right, if you're going to be like that, fair play. I've got work to do, or I've got this to do. Like, it's just not worth it, is it? Like,
No.
Life's too short to like have fallouts with people and stuff.
Yeah, it's silly. I remember the first time I was in Leeds and me and Sanaa had like something to disagree with, and she was proper hesitant. And I just said, like, I remember I was literally like, tell me what's the matter and we'll talk. And she told me, and then afterwards she said, she was like, I'm stunned. No one's ever handled anything like that. And I was like, well, probably because they're not mature. Like, they don't want to talk about it. Like,
what's the point of like arguing each other about something?
Yeah, shouting and stuff. You know, I'd be like, nah, I don't have the fucking energy. I've got meal three and check-ins to do. All right, exactly. See you later. Yeah. Right, we've got a few more and then that's it.
Yeah, I'll be quick with these. So Big Dan the Gash.
Damn, Big Dan. There you go.
He asked, noticed on your recent video you were lifting heels on the hack squat. Isn't that suboptimal form? Sorry, mate. Don't mean to be the form police. Just what I've been taught.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, sorry, mate. Like, I thought that you were like, sorry, mate.
Sorry, mate. You fucking form.
sorry, Big Dan. Like, cheers.
I've literally had like three or four messages about that, and I've sent the same answer to them all. So I want to hear your opinion first.
Well, we spoke about it a few times, and it's like it's very dependent. It's the same as, like, you know, on like a leg press when people are like, oh, your lower back shouldn't round. And I feel like there's always going to be a point where you said, right, on something like that, you get a good amount of quad stimulus, your knees and your knees flex as a result of that, your ankle mobility isn't going into, like, your ankle mobility isn't fantastic anyway, to the point where there's a little bit of heel elevation, and ideally you'd want to minimize that. And you did also want to have the small heel wedge would have actually naturally pretty much elevated your heels, so it allows for a biomechanical advantageous position for your knees to allow for flexion to occur. Oh, that was a bit of a mouthful, but yeah, there's plenty of reasons why. Is it optimal? Probably not. Would it be like advised to keep in, like, would I be saying, mate, why aren't your heels raising if they stopped? No, but the whole point of that is it's a new movement pattern that no doubt if you had that heel wedge would be pretty much spot on, and you're getting your knees into a flex position, you're feeling it in your quads.
Yeah, so this is the answer that I sent to someone, and then I got it again like twice, so I just screenshotted it, well, I copied and pasted it. So I just put, on almost any other squat variation, that would be the case. On the Cybex, it feels very difficult for me to keep my heels down unless I take a much higher stance, which then compromises the degree of knee flexion I can get. I also get the best connection with my quads when taking this stance and not worrying about a little heel elevation. So basically, I wouldn't recommend it on anything. I wouldn't even recommend it on the hack. I wouldn't say, make sure your heels are coming up. But like for me, that's the best a Cybex hack's actually ever felt. It's the most quad stimulus I've ever got out of it. And it didn't feel unnatural or uncomfortable. I wasn't thinking like, oh shit, I'm going onto my toes, I'm going to roll my ankle or anything like that. Like, I feel like I'm pressing through my midfoot, basically. And it does feel pretty comfortable. On the last rep of the top set, I did end up going onto my toes too much, but I didn't get the rep. It almost hindered me. So it's not as if it's like helping me get loads more out of it. But yeah, the amount of knee flexion that I can get is so much more than if I was to be like, oh, I'll just put my feet a bit higher and keep my heels down. And what I also find as well is that the lower my feet are, obviously the more vertical I am and the less lower back fatigue I get. Like, whereas if I have my feet further forward, my lower back tends to get quite a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. Same on the Atlantis. Like, obviously loads of people love the Atlantis. They really get on with it. I've always said to you, like, I don't understand how people like it. Like, as soon as I go anywhere near the bottom of the rep, it all the load goes to my knees and to my lower back. I get nothing out of my quads because it's just so horizontal. Whereas the more vertical the hack is, generally the better it feels. Like the hack that we had in lockdown, I really got on with because it was so vertical, whereas it fucked your knees up, and vice versa. You really get on with the Atlantis and I don't. So this is when, again, you know, things are dependent on that person. So yeah, it is an interesting one because, like you say, you know, you might have been taught, well, you shouldn't lift your heels up. And again, you know, I'd agree with that. But again, that's not, it's like you said, you know, you would generally say you don't want your hips moving on a leg press. But realistically, is a small amount going to take away from this? Especially if you can get more knee flexion and if it still feels safe and if you feel locked in, it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's fairly similar in answer, to be fair. Yeah. Like, if you were to look at it. Yeah. Right.
I've got one more.
Sound.
I think. It's from Big Croggan.
Josh. Croggan,
third in the world.
WNBF pro. Oh my god, is this a pro asking us a question? Is this a question? Is this a pro? Oh god, right. Oh, get myself prepared, right, Josh. Ready? Come on.
This doesn't make any sense because I'm sure that you're stronger than Jake, but he's put, can I come and deadlift with you and Reese, please? Jake is too strong, makes me depressed.
Oh yeah, I'm way stronger than Jake. So sorry, I
think he's asking me.
Yeah.
Mate, me and you can have a deadlift session. Those two big cheats can train together.
No, Josh isn't. No, Jake isn't strong enough. I think I'd have to cut another plate.
Jake is strong.
What's he pulling though? He's not pulling.
He is very strong. I don't know exactly what he's pulling, but he is very strong.
No, I saw his Smith squat. That's good. Smith squat's very strong. Yeah, Jake's a strong boy. That's for definite. Clearly the big cheats can train, and then the skinny natty fucks can train as well. That'll be it.
Yes, mate.
Yeah, so the skinny natties.
I don't think Jake's pulling 6 days ago, 220 and 180 stiff legs.
Oh yeah, sound. I did 220 for 15. Jake, find someone else, bud. Imagine. I need to find someone else. I'm gonna message JP. That's it. Because me and JP have actually got fairly similar numbers. He's a little bit ahead of me. But I'm gonna say, mate, I really want to train with someone who's a little bit stronger than me, just a little bit. Because I want a bit more motivation.
So JP,
he'd do me, I reckon. I don't know what his numbers are. I know he's good at one reps, but I don't know what his rep works like. Like, what's his best in 220? Has he done 220 for 20? I'm guessing he has.
Right, I'm sure he has. He did 280 for 8 the other day.
Okay, fair enough. Doubled my reps. Cheers.
280 for 8. He is doing it as a deadlift though, and I know yours is supposed to be a stiff leg, but
the first rep isn't. The second and third pretty much are. Like,
to be fair, Keefe doesn't get that much leg drive.
I don't call it, like, I'm not going to be like, oh my god, I'm stiff legging. Pull with my hips.
You're just pulling from the floor.
Yeah, like I pull with my hips high anyway. After the first few reps, like if I was to be in an optimal position, I wouldn't drop my hips any lower. You know,
300 for 9.
All right, see you in a bit. 300 for 9.
Yeah, I thought you were saying that to what I said. See you in a bit. Just sack it off. Go home. Go off the podcast.
Yeah, see you later.
But that is tap and go. It's like a one rep max, and then it's another 8 reps, which still is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that.
Yeah. Either JP or Keefe. That's the only people I can deadlift.
220 for 18. Dead stop. Ooh,
love that. Nice. I got 15, so yeah, 3 reps off him. Wow, that does go to show I'm really weak at lower reps. I should be better.
Like, I think he's just insanely strong at lower reps. I don't think it's that you're really weak.
I don't know. I don't think. I think 220 for 15 should be like 300 for like 4-3. Personally, you know.
Why don't you try a barbell back squat 260 for 3?
Mate, I couldn't barbell back squat 160 for 3, let alone 260 for 3.
Mental.
You see the state of my legs. I'm only meant to eat, mate. Come on, God, you should know that.
Right, should we wrap it up, mate?
Yeah, that's that. Another good one. Well, the good one, that's it. You got anything to leave us on, mate? Or is that pretty much everything from you?
That's everything. That's everything, mate.
Sound. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for the questions. I feel like we've got back to all, so we'll probably put up a question box each next week and we'll just go from there. Appreciate all the story tags that we only ever get on Mondays. Guys, spread them out. Me and Finn have said this before. Like, spread them out. We get them on Mondays and then we just have to share them all. Like, come on, for engagement on social media, like some people say, right, I'm actually going to be a Thursday sharer of the podcast. That'd be good. So it gives us some story.
AJ's been doing that. He's been doing Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, AJ, stick to Tuesday and Wednesdays. Everyone else who does it on Mondays, put it a bit later, please, guys. Like, do a few Mondays. We're going to get none on Mondays now. We're going to get loads on Thursday. Cheers, guys. Cheers for that. But no, thanks for everyone who's listened. Thanks for everyone who's asked questions. We'll look forward to welcoming you back to the Monster in Your Room podcast, episode 34, which will be next time. And other than that, take care, and we'll catch you guys later on.